come, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won, he is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing, and this darkness brings to light, and the shadows disappear. My faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is
thank you, fellas. Great job. Beautiful message. And well done. Appreciate you sharing your talents with us today. We're delighted that you are here this morning. It's good to see you out for another time of worship on this beautiful Lord's Day that He's given us. As has already been said, we had a great time this morning with our men's gathering for the breakfast. And the men, again, they did a great job cooking. And they haven't done a bad job yet. So, and we don't think they are. It was great. We enjoyed it. And we are just delighted that you are here this morning. We have visitors here. We have some Bradleys and some Joiners over here on this side that are with us today. And that's on both sides of the family. And we're delighted that they are here today on this special day, Men's Day, in the life of our church. And all others who are visiting, we welcome you. It's good to have you. Sandhill folks love to have visitors. And so you just feel at home here and join in with us and sing with us, pray with us, and let's just worship the Lord together. And I know you want to take note of the fine-looking group we have behind us here, these men, and we appreciate them filling the choir today. But we're here to worship the Lord today, and encourage you to join in with us as we do that. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, at this time, we need to make mention of folks that need prayers that may not be in the bulletin. Roy Stewart was taken to the hospital last night. He's over at Lancaster. And Lisa Fletcher has had surgery on her knee. And we need to add Tim Sims to our prayer list. And also, some of you may know him, Reverend Bob Jeske, who was a former pastor at Flat Creek, passed away. So we want to remember that family. Well, are there others you'd like to add to our list? Okay, Danny D's. Okay. All right. Any others? All right, let's pray together. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pause again today to say thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day you've given us. We thank you that you have seen us safely through another week, and that we are able to come back together to worship you, to fellowship with you and with each other. Lord, it's just a blessing to be able to come together in your name and to meet with brothers and sisters in Christ and have this great time of fellowship and worship together. And Lord, we know that you've made it all possible, and we praise you and thank you for that. Then Lord, we come today to pray for these that are on the prayer list. Lord, there's so many needs here, so many people hurting, many people that are sick and afflicted in some way. And Lord, we just pray that your comforting presence will be felt in their lives, and that your will would be done. And Lord, we just praying that they'll see better days in accordance to your will. And Lord, there are those who are bereaved and suffering from the loss of loved ones today. We just pray that you would be to them what they are in need of. Even as we pray. And Lord, we do pray for the caregivers. We thank you for them. We don't know what we'd do without them. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that they are taking care of their loved ones and friends. And we just thank you, Lord, for them. And we pray for our missionaries today. Lord, we just thank you for them and for the work that they are doing. We know that there are places where you placed them, that their lives might be in danger. It's difficult. today to spread the gospel. But Lord, we just pray you will encourage them, protect and keep them as they share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people where you have placed them. Now, Lord, we pray for our nation and our world. We know there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of discord. There's just so much going on that it is not good. And Lord, we know what we need. We need a revival. We know we need you to get into the hearts and lives of people and change people. And we know that you can do that and people will accept you. So, Lord, we just pray for our nation today and our leaders. And we pray for our judges as they make decisions that affect us all. Now, Lord, we pray today now as we continue this time of worship that you would bless it, that you would truly be honored. We pray for Rick as he comes to speak to us today. Lord, we thank you for using him, and we pray you will use him today to bring honor and glory to your name. Now, Father, we pray that you would bless and with all that we do now, that we might continue to honor and praise you and forgive us of our sins. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And we ask the children to come forward now for the children's sermon.
This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And what that means is when we face with a situation that we need to first listen and think about it before we automatically react, and that's hard to do sometimes. I know I see it a lot of times in schools. When I'm in schools, I don't think I've seen any of y'all in there yet, but a lot of times I see kids getting drug into the office where they don't think before they just start, and when it's just easy when somebody hits you or something, you want to hit back. And so what that was talking about was just being able to listen first. And, okay, I'm going to just reread that verse. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And like I said, that's James 1:19. It says in this devotion, it says, notice how the word all is used when he says that all of us need to, we must all be quick to listen. It says, no one is immune. It takes just the perfect storm for a personal situation to put you over the edge. It says, before you feel justified to say something damaging, remember this verse. And if you are on the receiving end, it says, be quick to forgive and slow to resent. And what this verse is just saying is that when those things happen in school, that we need to think about them before reacting immediately. I mean, it's not only in school, it's in our workplace. We have, I think all of us somewhere along the way, work with somebody that we don't see eye to eye with or different things that you still have to get through today and get that job done. So we just need to try to apply this first to everyday life, to listen first, and then before we act on it and speak, think about what we're saying and doing, because a lot of times they say that, what's the old saying? Y'all probably know it, that sticks and stones, how does that go? That's right. They say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But as you get older, you realize that that's not the case. A lot of times stuff can go out there that's more damaging sometimes than getting hit by a stick or stone. And you'll see that especially with this stuff like these phones and all stuff gets put out there now. People don't think before they respond. So I think that spoke to me and everybody. I think that speaks to all of us from this side up to 90-year-olds that we talk about how we need to try to think about stuff before we say it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for these children. Dear Lord, just thank you for the parents and grandparents giving them their healing. try to lead God and direct them in a way that be pleasing you, dear Lord. Try to bring them up in the right place so when situations arise, dear Lord, that they can do things right in front of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to hymn 426, Victory in Jesus. Let's stand and sing the first and the third stanzas.
This morning, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we lift up these many names we brought up this morning, these are your prayer requests. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to use these tithes and offerings for your honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
gets nervous. I don't know why. Stay in place. Christian Homes. Let's sing the first, the second, and the fourth stanzas.
I've not had the privilege of introducing our son until now to come and speak to us, but I count it as a distinct honor to be able to introduce Rick, our firstborn, and who is a walking miracle, really. And I'm sure he'll share some of that story with you. The Lord has done a great thing in his life. The Lord has performed a great miracle in his life. So really, he's not supposed to be here. But the Lord saw fit for him to be here and to be able to share what the Lord has done for him. And that's what he prayed for, that not to be healed, but the Lord use him. And that's what the Lord is doing. So we are very happy to have Rick to come. And we're talking about Baptist Men's Day to Hugh. He asked me if I know anybody. I gave him a couple of names. And later on, he came back and he said, "Well, I just thought of somebody. How about your son?" I said, I'll ask him." And so he consented to come. So, Rick, you come and speak what the Lord has laid on your heart for us today.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. We are on the sounder. We not. How about now? We getting there? All right. How y'all doing this morning? That's some good singing there. I wish I could sing like that. The people at my home church is sitting near me. They really wish I could sing like that. Good gracious, we got a good start on a family reunion here this morning. And this ain't for the Sand Hill folks. This is my family. They didn't have to eat this morning, y'all. Because usually when we get together, y'all know we're going to do some eating. But I'm just telling y'all, you missed. Got to go somewhere when we get done here. I want to thank y'all so much for having me here this morning. It is indeed a privilege to get to share what the Lord has done in my life. And first of all, I'd like to say to you people at Sand Hill, thank y'all so much for taking care of my mom and daddy. I ain't got the words to tell you what they mean to me. And I don't think I got the words to tell you what y'all mean to them. Y'all really do. That's my mom and daddy. I know I'm a little out of the loop. A lot of people these days say mom and dad. I still got a mom and daddy. I'm always running a little behind on stuff like that. Anyway, I got a niece back there that prompts me real good on stuff like that. She'll probably be correcting me before I'm through here anyway. But anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about myself before we get around to it. I was born down the road here in Camden in the hospital down there. Lived the first few years of my life when I was a little old boy before I grew up over about Mount Pisgah. Now I can say Mount Pisgah down here and I see y'all's face, you know, the light goes on. If I up there around home, around Mount, around Lancaster, if I say Mount Pisgah, they might not be ever heard of that, you know. They go like, Mount Pisgah, no, I don't know where that is. But anyway, we lived over there when I was a little boy, we lived over there right beside the school in a house over there. And it was a house that I think a good many of the families, not all at one time, but a lot of us shared that house. I know Rhonda and them, they lived in it after we did, and I wasn't old enough to remember when some of the rest of them lived in there. But anyway, but like I say, I know Rhonda and them lived there. They lived there after we did, and you know that they got these little games going around on your iPhones and all that trivia game. If that ever comes up on there, that question, you just remember where you got that answer from. Now, I don't know if it'll be on there, you know, but I'm just saying anyway. But anyway, Daddy was called to the ministry when I was just a young boy. I think it was right before I turned four. And we moved off to North Greenville. It was a junior college then, just a small college. It was we thought we were really moving somewhere. And I think at the time we left, Mount Pisgah had two stores. And got Tigerville up there with North Greenville. They had one store. So I don't know if we really thought we was going to... We were somewhere or not, but anyway, we stayed there a little bit. I got saved there when I was a young boy at Tigerville Baptist Church. Was baptized there, and that was a great time in our life. We still talk about today. It was living there on the campus, and everybody could come out of their houses on Sunday morning, and families walking to church, and we still talk about that today, you know, and reminisce about what a good time that was. I know they can't kids can't do this anymore, but they turned me loose on my bicycle. We got to ride all day at around the campus. Now you wouldn't turn a little 7 or 8 year old boy loose anymore. They just can't do that. Wouldn't be safe anymore. But I didn't bother too many people, I don't think. But anyway. Then after Daddy finished up there, he went to Furman, and we moved on up to Eastern North Carolina, what they like to call up there, them people like to call Tobacco Road. We were up in that area, and Daddy pastored churches up there. And he was just following what the Lord what called him to do. And I went through high school, finished high school up there, actually, which some people wouldn't think I went to Beaufort. I don't know why. Most of my sisters did, but we moved back here after I finished high school. But anyway, right after I got out of high school, in high school, and I started running with the wrong crowd, and I really started to make a mess of my life. Nobody put a gun to my head or anything. It was decisions I made, or bad decisions. But I struggled. I struggled with drugs and alcohol, and I really made a mess of my life. Worried my folks to death, like drove them crazy. But I was out of the will of God. I was not doing what He wanted me to do. My family really suffered from it too. But I was still going to church. I still attending church. But that's all I was doing. I was there. I was dead wood. I wasn't worshiping. I was getting through the service, you know, ready to get home. But I carried on like that for many years, and started to attend church a little better and get more into it, and doing better as far as serving the Lord. But anyway, in the summer of 2011, story of my life started to change, and it really changes a little later on. But I was working over at a golf course over Edgewater. I don't know if y'all know where that is, over between Lancaster and Great Falls over there on the river, a really area that wasn't developed at all. And it was a good job. As Gary might would know, you don't make any money doing that, but it's a good job. But it was really back to nature. They had all kind of wildlife out there, turkey and deer, and bobcats, and eagles. They had one of those trail cameras on the tree out there, and they saw a bear on there. I never saw him. Somebody asked me what I'd seen out there, and I said, I've seen everything out there but Sasquatch. And he might have been out there, but I didn't see him, you know. But I had an idea he might be. I don't know. But during that summer, 2011, I was sick, but I don't know, some of you women probably say it's a man thing. I put it off, you know. I was like, I'd ignore it and it'd go away. But it did. September 28, 2011, I was really sick at work that day. I'd been sick, you know, where I couldn't eat, and that's for those of y'all in the family that know me, that's a really shocker there that I couldn't eat. But anyway, I got home from work that day and I told Mama, I said, Mama, I'm just sick. I gotta go to the ER. And so it was on a Wednesday. Daddy was, I think he was in the interim out there at High Point, and he had to go to church. So Mama went with me over there to the ER. And you know how it is at the ER sometimes. I'm sure a lot of y'all folks might have an ER story. I don't know. I'm not here to crack on the people that work there. I know they just get overwhelmed at times. But anyway, we went over there, and it was kind of backed up a little bit. And then I just kind of got frustrated, and I told Mama, I said, let's just go home and forget about it. Let's go. You know, it ain't worth all this. And it was at that time that Mama kind of took me aside, and she let me know that wasn't going to happen, that we were going to stay there until we found out. And for those of y'all who don't know, Daddy ain't the only one in our family that can preach. She made that pretty clear. But anyway, she went home. I think one of my sisters came, and we over there to stay with me. And they ran some tests. They did a scan on me, and I was the girl that did the scan there. She was in our Sunday school class, so I asked her. I said, "But look all right?" And she didn't really look at me, and I was like, you know, I knew this, what she told me. She said, "You know, I can't tell you that." And well, I was trying to play the, you know, the old friendship card. Oh, come on, you tell me. She said, "You know, I can't tell you." So I didn't, you know, I didn't think anything about it. Then a little later on, she told me, you know, what. But we got back over there into the little room where they were holding me at, and my sister was in there, and that ER doctor came in, and he said, "Mr. Joyner, I'm so glad you came in today." He said, "You have... I'm sure he said cancer. I don't, to this day, I can't remember hearing the words come out of his mouth, but he said that, I'm sure, because he said, in his next sentence, he said, you'll require immediate chemotherapy and radiation." So, I remember, it's kind of like the bottom falls out. When they tell you that, it wasn't what I expected to hear. I thought I might have had. I didn't really know what was wrong with me, but I didn't think it was that. Daddy came over after a little while. After he got home from church, Kay stayed with my sister. She stayed with me there, and they got me admitted to a room that night at Springs. I still remember the room number because of. What happened in that room that night was room 636, Springs Memorial Hospital. After they went home and they got me in bed, you know, and they left because wasn't in need to stay with me or anything. And I just prayed to the Lord that night. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I'd just been diagnosed with cancer. I didn't know if I was going to live a day or a month, 6 months, a year, how long. I said, "Lord, I can't do this, but I do know that you're bigger than all this, and I just want you to use me and let me serve you for however long I got left." Well, I went home from the hospital. I think I stayed 4 days, went home on a Saturday, I believe, something like that. I started my chemo and radiation. I did 6 weeks of chemo and 34 radiation treatments. And they wanted to shrink the tumor so they could try to remove it. And all during this time, I was just, man, I was rotten. I was really sick during this time. But so we got over there to, they were, like I say, we were trying to shrink the tumor. Get over here to just a little bit later there, December 20th, 2011. They did this surgery to remove the tumor. I think it was a little four-hour surgery. I had told my folks, you know, all my family, I said, y'all, whatever happens, always be truthful. Be up front with me. Tell me what's going on so, you know, I want to know. Don't be keeping stuff from me. So I remember coming out of this surgery, and I think it was, well, they were taking me over there because I stayed a few days in the ICU, but I was going over there, and I remember waking up. And there were probably maybe more people there or not. I remember my sister being there, and I remember my daddy being there. And I asked them, I said, everything go all right? And they said, don't worry about it right now. So they didn't really say yes or no, you know, but they said, don't worry about it right now. And I went off to Wonderland again, stayed kind of sedated there for a while, for several days. But anyway, I don't know. I don't even remember actually if it was when I was in the ICU or if I'd already gotten back in a regular room over there. But they told me then that when they did the surgery, that they consulted other doctors after they got me open, and they've made a decision. They couldn't. The tumor was just too big. They couldn't take it out. They sewed me back up. And the prognosis was 6 months to a year. 6 months to a year to live. Spent Christmas there. Oh, they fixed my room up with a nice little Christmas tree and everything. And but anyway, I was there the week after, you know, Christmas and New Year's when they have all them bowl games on, which a fella like me, that'd just be all right. But I don't remember a single one of them. That wasn't my focus at that time, to watch no ball game. But anyway, I went home to hospice care. I think home health was there for just a little bit, but I think I started hospice in February of that year. I was really sick and weak. But over the spring and summer, I started to really feel better. The hospice nurse was coming once a week, and I started to feel better. I thought to myself, I said, you know, I don't, maybe this is not growing quite as fast, you know, as they thought. I don't know. It might not have been as aggressive. And I was, I guess, you know, we did all the things that during that time, we did all the things that you do when you have this hanging over you. You know, we made plans and all. But I went to the beach. I didn't know, you know, they told me that I probably wouldn't make it around the next beach season, but I went to the beach, and I must have really thought that things were bad because I went parasailing. And, you know, and I really liked that, though, really. One of the guys told me, said, well, if you really want to do something wild and you think you ain't got much time left, he said, go skydiving. Jump out of an airplane. I said, what's wrong with the airplane? Why you got to jump out of it? You know, so, but I never did do that. But anyway, I stayed on the hospice care all the way through the summer. And I just felt, I knew I wasn't feeling any worse. If anything, I felt like I was feeling better. So I told them I wanted to see about getting another scan to see what was going on with it. And they told me, the hospice nurse told me, said, well, you'll have to get off hospice care because we just manage you, your health, you know. So I got off, and they quit coming to see me, and I got lined up to do a scan, and they did this scan, and the tumor had shrunk, and I had shrunk by almost half, and I hadn't had any chemo or radiation through all that time. It just shrank. My doctor at that time, my primary care doctor, told me he would like to medically explain, you know, why this happened, but he couldn't. He said that was just the hand of the Lord did that. So they got me hooked up with the group of doctors up in at Levine, up in Charlotte, Levine Cancer Center. Fine fine group up there. And went up there to see them. They told me they were pretty sure they could get it. And so on Thanksgiving, the week, I think it was the next week following Thanksgiving week in 2012, they did a 10-hour surgery. You know, I don't know. I think they take whatever smoke breaks or whatever they do. I don't know. I couldn't sit there and do something like that. But anyway, I was asleep. It didn't affect me. But it was a long surgery. It was really long on my family members that were up there. I'm sure they had a big time. But anyway, they did the surgery and they got it, the tumor out this time. And I stayed there at CMC that time 23 days. I stayed there and all got out right before Christmas, I think the week of Christmas, and as you'll see a little later, but it's kind of a running joke in our family that get around the holidays, I try to find my way to CMC, but you know, that's it always seems like it falls right around holidays. But I came home the week right at Christmas, and that was the end of 12. Well, 2013 was a year that was filled with all kind of trips back to the hospital. I had infections. I'd get infections I was admitted about 5 or 6 times up there, maybe something like that. But I'd have one of the infections was real bad. My sister had to correct me if I say, I think my infection went septic, right? It went septic. And I got a real, real high fever and had them chills and all that, and they had me up there at the hospital at CMC, and they had all a bunch of doctors and all, and they was gathered around me. They were talking like I couldn't hear them, you know, and what they were going to do to me. I hear what y'all doing and what y'all saying. I'm still here. And like I say, I had them chills. I was about to freeze, and they do this good trick to you that just don't seem right. But you're freezing, but you got the high temperature. So then they pack you in ice, which is real, real fun. But anyway, January of 14, after we got been in the hospital all these times, January of 14, last year, they did the surgery to fix all those infections. And they did. I hadn't been back in the hospital since then. During this time, all this time, what has transpired, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I say that cancer is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I say that because through these trials that has brought me closer to the Lord than I feel like I ever would have been. It helped me to restore, you know, all kind of, I had damaged relationships with my family, with friends, and the Lord just took care of all that by healing me. He healed me medically, but more importantly, He healed me spiritually. I think in all that time that I spent, right around 60 days in the hospital, I lost maybe 60 or more pounds. I lost them, and gratefully they came back to their rightful place all that way. Now they did. I just wanted to tell y'all that I would never, before all this happened, get up to do something like this. I mean, I'm nervous now, but I could. Before, I probably could have got up here and talked all day about football, golf, or something like that. But I never could have got up here and told anybody what kind of work He'd done in my life and what He continues to do in my life today. And I think all of that goes back to that prayer of September 28, 2011, when I asked the Lord to use me and let me serve him. And I just want to, I'm going to close with reading out of Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. Jesus talking here. He said, summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said unto them, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does a man benefit to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Thank y'all so much for letting me be here.
Here to feel the need of rededicating your life to God. In ways,